order. I would ask for the certification of the board executive session, Mr. Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at the just concluded board executive session, September 24th, 2014, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws Article 10 and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. Is there a second?
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Next, I would ask for an approval of the agenda. Motion made and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I understand you wish to withdraw item C and consent calendar.
I do. Thank you for reminding me. With that amendment, all those in favor of the approval of the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Approval of the minutes of the meeting of July 24th, 2014. Would ask for a motion of approval. Motion made. Motion seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The next item is public comment. We have a sign-up sheet with three individuals. First is Sarah K. Harper.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Sarah K. Harper, retired member of AFGE Local 12 at the U.S. Department of Labor. I was a paralegal there for 20 years in the Office of Solicitor, Civil Rights Division. I am also a member of the Metropolitan Washington Public Health Association Health Disparities Committee. I am demanding that WMATA drop its criminal background check policy. The Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Urban Affairs and an NAACP Legal Defense Fund filed a class action lawsuit this summer on the criminal background check and also among three of its contractors. The racist criminal background check is now being applied to current Metro workers. If they are off work for over 90 days, a criminal background check is done. If anything shows up, even after a 20-year period, the person is fired. In February, Muriel Bowser held public hearings on the criminal background check policy, and Mr. Searles testified at that hearing, and he said that he would not run background check on workers that had been out for over 90 days for medical reasons. Unfortunately, the memo did not come down to his subordinates, or else he lied, because several workers, one was out for cancer treatment over a year, and the other for back treatment, came back, had criminal background check done, and were tried to be fired until the union protested and grieved and they got their jobs back. Thank you very much. They should drop the lawsuit and settle.
Thank you. Next is Catherine Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Erin Pomerantz, and I'm co-chair of the Health Disparity Committee of the Metropolitan Washington Public Health Association, speaking on a similar. It's been over 2 years now since WMATA changed its hiring policy to disqualify workers with criminal convictions. Regardless of the time passed since the conviction, the relevance of the conviction to the job duties, or the nature of the crime. In fact, 96% of arrests in D.C. from 2009 through 2011 were for nonviolent offenses. And even though white and black residents used drugs at similar rates, African Americans comprised 90% of all those arrested for drug use due to increased police surveillance in their neighborhoods and racial profiling. Metro exacerbates these inequities and these arrests by denying employment to people with previous criminal convictions and by firing workers once they return after 90 days of leave, as Sarah described, two cases. Why does this policy matter so much? It has significant impact on the health and well-being of individual workers and on the well-being of communities. The Adler Report on the Mental Health Impact Assessment of Employment Policies identifies several ways that unlawful hiring practices of returning citizens affect mental health and community well-being. One, employment fosters a sense of social inclusion and a source of income that promote improved neighborhood conditions and community mental health. It allows workers to support themselves without relying on the informal economy. It is one way that Metro and other employees use to keep people intimidated and passive. However, MWPHA and others refuse to let this continue. We urge the board to change this policy and eliminate background checks for crimes that have nothing to do with the job.
Thank you. Next, we have Bill.
I'm sorry.
Bill, I'm sorry. Thank you. Bill Orleans.
All right. Good afternoon. I'm here on three items. Quickly, with regard to the resolution concerning the Greenbelt scheduling of a compact public hearing or authorizing. It seems to me it's being rushed. As I read through the resolution and it's, and the background materials, which are the same, not revised from 2 weeks ago, including some fairly glaring error, it seems to me that the concept plan obviously requires further refining. The developer, your partner, still has work to receive. Metro ultimately has to agree that as a result of the refining of the plan and consultant work by the developer, that you even want to proceed with the development. TSA has only started the scoping process. They're having their meeting this week, maybe last and maybe next. They're in the middle of their scoping meeting. EIS won't be prepared until 2015. While the RFPs may go out soon, that doesn't really require that this board today, at this time, authorize a compact hearing that's not anticipated to occur until early 2015. I suggest that probably February or March, not January. That's 5 or 6 months. Time needed to schedule a notice time needed to schedule a public hearing on changes in transit facilities, I'm told, I didn't remember, is 30 days. 30 days plus some additional time to do collateral work. Seems to me that this could be put off for several months. Very quickly, very quickly, two other items. It's been maybe a year since I asked this board from this podium about the participation at board committee meetings. And I received no answer then. The revisions to the board procedures today contain no changes. I asked then, I'm interested now, since I haven't seen at any committee meeting the opportunity for the public to make comment, how frequently the board actually allows for public comment at committee meetings. I'd like to actually to see that arriving. Very quickly, last item on the floating of the bonds, I've suggested anecdotally, quietly to some staff here, that when WMATA wants to sell bonds, they might consider selling bonds in increments that we, the riders, could buy them, rather than going and utilizing your own financial advisor, rather than paying hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to an outside financial
Bill,
advisor.
Bill, I'm sorry.
Only the rich folks can buy the bond. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the individuals who have signed up to speak during the public comment period. next, I have the report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Mr. Chairman, he's not here. There's no one from the AAC.
No one from the AAC? Okay. Report by the Writers Advisory Council, Ms. Walker.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The Writers Advisory Council met in August and September, so we have 2 months' worth of activity going on. I believe you have two different chair reports, so I'll just hit the highlights. The first highlight of our August meeting was a formal recognition of John Pasek, the current Assistant Board Secretary, who served as the Writers Advisory Council Staff Coordinator from October 2006 to December 2013. And I believe you have a copy of the commendation that was read at the August meeting of the RAC. John was the first RAC staff coordinator and certainly set a high bar for others to follow. Also, one of the highlights of the August meeting was a presentation by Lynn Barasox on the draft public participation plan, which I believe is on your agenda for approval today. We appreciated the opportunity to provide input on that plan that I believe is reflected in what you've got today. And the big deliverable for the August meeting was a major revision to proposed revision to the RAC bylaws. They are wending their way to you. They're now under review by the Office of General Counsel. We hope you'll receive them by the October 27th meeting for review and approval. For September, I guess the highlight was a meeting arranged by Michael Goldman of the Maryland of WMATA Board representative and the Writers Advisory Council Maryland member. I think there's a report that if you don't have it, you'll have it in your next mailing. And by all accounts, that meeting was very productive, and we want to use that tomorrow for future meetings. We also welcome 3 new members that you appointed to the Writers Advisory Council, and we're looking forward to another appointee to round out a full complement getting in. Today, as a matter of fact, later on this afternoon, we're going to be, Virginia Writers Advisory Council members are going to be meeting along with WMATA board members from Virginia on the impact of the Silver Line opening on the Blue Line. At our August meeting, we had probably the biggest public number of public commenters outside of a couple of years ago with the baggage inspection relating to the ongoing concerns of Blue Line riders who, as you know, have wait times during rush hour of 12 minutes. And as somebody pointed out this morning, that means if you miss a train, it's 24 minutes. So Lynn Barasox has convened that meeting with customers on the Blue Line, and we're hoping that there might be some additional fixes and tweaks to the system that would help the Blue Line riders initially. And although the meeting is being held in Virginia, we're well aware of the fact that the Blue Line issue is from the beginning to the end of the system. Two other deliverables. See, we had an advantage. Who didn't meet in August? We did, so we kind of played catch-up with some of the things were promised. You should have received a position paper on the signage concept that is now being considered by Metro for implementation in 2015, along with phase 2 opening of Silver. And we also, thanks to the good office of Matt Brown, were able to put together a resolution that initially started off being about the 16th bus line, but was expanded to be a resolution from the RAC to the WMATA board on things that could be done in a cooperative manner with the Department of Transportation and other jurisdictions to improve bus service on the Georgia Avenue 14th. And finally, what I want to talk about is the maturation of the customer comment. One of the committee concepts is one of the things that we've really been trying to do is to match your governance model doing a lot of the work in committees and then voting on the work in the RAC meeting. And we aren't perfect at that, but we do think that we've kind of gotten it on a roll because all of the deliverables, the bylaws, the finance, and the bus resolution came out of work of our three of our committees. So I think, are maturing in our approach to work by the Riders Advisory Council. We certainly have instituted the notion that appointment to this council doesn't mean that you don't have one tonight. Thank you.
Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. The chairman's report has two items. One is a approval of a change in committee membership, and it recommends to you the appointment of Mort Downey as vice chair of the Finance and Administration Committee. Okay. Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Second, we have a action to appoint a Accessibility Advisory Committee member. There is a resolution which names Charles Crawford to the AAC representing the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments Access for All Committee to replace a resigned committee member to a term set to expire on June the 15th. And would ask for a motion to approve the resolution, the appointment.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? I will come back to the chairman's remarks after the general manager completes his. So, Rich.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. I'd like to share some news we received earlier this week from the Federal Transit Administration. Following Hurricane Sandy in October 2012, the FTA established a program to help transit agencies reduce the risk of damage from future natural disasters. And earlier this year, the board approved our application for aid. Pleased to announce that Metro has been awarded $21 million for projects that will strengthen our system and prevent water intrusion. The award is comprised of two separate grants. First, Metro is receiving $13.5 million to raise ventilation shafts at a number of locations along the National Mall that currently fall within the floodplain. Floodplain maps have changed since Metro's original construction, so this work is now necessary. And a second grant of $7.5 million will allow us to install backflow prevention devices at 133 sites throughout the rail system. These federal grants will better enable the Metro Rail system to withstand future storms and continue to provide safe, reliable service for the future, for the region. As you know, we had a busy and exciting summer here at Metro. In July and August, Metro employees were hard at work introducing two new transit services, the Silver Line and Metroway. These services connect new communities to the Metro system and provide the entire region with improved access to parts of Fairfax County and Arlington, including Tysons and Reston, as well as the Crystal City Potomac Yard Corridor. Pleased to report that we're seeing positive ridership numbers that indicate new riders are being drawn to the Metro system and existing customers are taking advantage of these convenient connections. In less than 2 months since the launch of the Silver Line on July 26th, the five new Silver Line stations are performing well. The Wheelie Reston East station is a commuting powerhouse, having already surpassed first-year ridership projections. Convenient bus transfers, a secure bike room, and a large parking garage provide easy access for thousands of daily commuters. The Silver Line is also proving to be a regional service. Riders are not just traveling back and forth between Virginia and the district. On weekday mornings, nearly 10% of riders entering at the five new Silver Line stations are bound for Maryland, and 17% of the riders exiting at the new stations start their trips in Maryland. We continue to identify new ways to attract riders to the Silver Line. Right now, Metro is partnering with a major film festival held in Reston Town Center, the Washington West Film Festival, and encouraging the region to take the Silver Line to the Silver Screen. In addition, we are working with the businesses in Tysons to come up with a plan for getting holiday shoppers onto the Silver Line. Tysons Corner Station is one of the few stations in the entire Metro Rail system where ridership is higher on Saturday and regular weekdays, which demonstrates the draw of Tyson's Corner and the Galleria, as well as other nearby shopping destinations. Now, when it comes to Metroway, we've also had a positive response to this new premium bus service, which is the first in the region to operate in dedicated bus-only lanes. Metroway replaced Metrobus Route 9S 1 month ago, and since then we've seen a 30% increase in ridership. Other nearby bus routes are not seeing a decline in ridership, so the ridership numbers point to the development of a new transit market in a previously underserved area near Potomac Yard. As development in that area continues and Metroway expands its service with more dedicated bus lanes and additional customer amenities, we're confident the popularity of the service will grow. Looking forward, we're about to embark on a major Metro Forward initiative with the replacement of the three long entrance escalators at Bethesda Station. This is part of a larger Metro Forward station modernization effort, which includes the testing of design concepts for future system-wide station improvements. We've talked to customers in Bethesda, and they've told us that modern escalators are their top priority. The Bethesda escalators are some of the longest in the Western Hemisphere, so the project will require extensive crane activity to remove the structure and major trusses that hold each escalator. To keep Bethesda Station open during this project, the escalators will be replaced one at a time rather than all at once. And for safety reasons, the work will be conducted when the station is closed to customers. I encourage riders to familiarize themselves with the project and prepare for occasional disruptions. We set up a web page at WMATA.com/Bethesda, and we're sending staff out to the station this week and next to reach out to as many riders as possible before work begins on October 6th. Before we get to this month's employee spotlight and another announcement I have to make, I'd like to recognize our Office of Planning for being leaders in the region, the nation, and now the world when it comes to sustainability. Metro's sustainability initiative was highlighted at yesterday's United Nations Climate Summit in a report presented by the UITP, the International Organization Promoting Public Transportation. I take pride in the critical role Metro plays supporting regional sustainability. Every day, our service results in nearly 750,000 auto trips coming off the region's roadways, reducing fuel consumption, improving air quality, and connecting communities. U.S. and international policymakers now recognize that transit is one of the most effective solutions to reducing greenhouse gas emissions and improving the livability of regions. And Metro is considered a model for improving the fuel efficiency of our bus fleet and pledging to increase greenhouse gas displacement 10% by 2025. Investing in sustainability here at Metro makes good business sense, and at the same time, we are leading the way for other transit authorities worldwide to adopt similar policies. For this month's employee spotlight, we are recognizing Metro Transit Police Officers Ricardo Grant Jr. and Travis Poulos and train operator Mark Dade. Late last month at around 9 o'clock on a Tuesday evening, Officers Grant and Poulos responded to the Rhode Island Avenue station for a report of a disorderly male harassing other riders. As the officers approached the subject, he suddenly jumped off the platform and onto the track bed while making statements that he wanted to die. When he jumped, the warning lights were flashing, which, as we all know, indicates the imminent arrival of the next train. The officers used their radios to contact the Rail Operations Control Center and request the immediate stoppage of train traffic and signal to the operator of the approaching train to stop. Train operator Dade saw the activity on the platform and activated the train's emergency braking system. With the train still bearing down on him, the man made a last-second attempt to jump onto the platform, and the officers pulled him out of the train's path with no time to spare. Today, we take the opportunity to thank Officer Grant, Officer Poulos, and train operator Dave for their heroic actions that saved the life of this man. Please come forward and join us for a photo. And one last thing. I want to publicly announce and confirm what I told the board and our employees earlier today, that after reflecting on where I am in life, I'm about to hit 70 the early part of next year, and all we've accomplished over the last few years, and the fact that I have now 8 grandchildren as of this month, time is getting precious for me. I'm in very good health, and I really want to enjoy that family. I want to do some things I've really never had the time and opportunity to do, and I need some more flexibility in my schedule. So as I advised the board a little earlier, I intend to retire in mid-January. And I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to have served WMATA. It has been truly a pleasure and an honor to do that and to lead the men and women of this fine, fine organization, all of whom really want to do a great job. Thank you again.
God, are we ever going to miss you? Today, Richard informed the board that he intends to retire from WMATA this coming January. You will recall that Richard came to the authority for 6 months to allow the board time to recruit a new general manager. Then he agreed to another extension so that we could recruit a new general manager. After a nationwide recruit, it became obvious that Rich was actually the best person to be the permanent general manager of the authority. Rich said at the time that he was committed to serve several years, but that his longer-term objectives were retirement and retirement. And this time, I actually think he means it. We will greatly miss Rich and his tremendous leadership. Metro and the entire region owe him a great deal of gratitude for his service, his commitment to making the authority world-class, and his focus on the customer. Under his stewardship, Metro rose from the ashes of its saddest chapter in our history to a foundation of safety, specific performance, and agency accountability. Metro's achievements and milestones over the last 5 years are a tribute to his steady leadership, industry expertise, and strong partnership with the board. His legacy includes establishing a nationally recognized safety culture that is the standard setter for the transit industry right now, launching the rebuilding of the entire system from the rail control systems to the new and rehabbed escalators and elevators, new buses, and our brand new rail cars. He opened the Silver Line. He attracted new leadership and literally rebuilding departments within the authority, building a new dialogue with customers in this new digital age, renewing our dedication and focus on service both to the region and to our individual customers. He recreated a working and professional relationship with our union leaders and their membership here at the authority with long-term financial benefits. He did all of this in a performance-based management style that was transparent and accountable to our customers, the public, and all stakeholders to hold us accountable. With every step, he re-inspired Metro employees' pride and credibility among elected officials and stakeholders. We're all better for you having been here with us. While it will be difficult to replace Richard, the board will begin a national search as soon as possible to find an equally strong professional transportation leader to take us to the next level of performance. I would ask that the region and all here present join with the board in thanking Richard and extending our gratitude and appreciation for his years of accomplishment and service to the authority. Thank you, Richard, for all you've done. Thanks again. God bless. Thank you. Next. It's finance.
Planning.
Okay. I got to find it somewhere in my book.
Mr. Chairman, while you're looking for it on your list, could I just indicate that I'm going to be stepping back on this issue so that my colleague, Ms. Hines, can step in as the voting representative from Virginia?
Planning, right? Okay. Next is a report from the Planning and Development Committee. Because Ms. Bowser was unable to attend that committee meeting, I've asked Ms. Hines if she would make the presentation on behalf of the committee, and I would also recognize that Ms. Bowser has filed a formal recusal from the item, which is the approval of the term sheet for the Navy Yard chiller site joint development. So with that, Ms. Hines.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is my pleasure to introduce these items that are being forwarded from the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee. The first one is approval to conduct the compact hearing for proposed changes to transit facilities at the Greenbelt Metro Station. Staff sought the committee's approval to conduct a compact public hearing on proposed transit facility changes and a proposed non-rider parking fee at the Greenbelt Metro Station. It should be noted that this station is in active consideration for a GSA placement, and that this action we're taking today in part is necessary for that site to continue being considered in that conversation. Metro's compact requires that a hearing be held to obtain public comment on proposed changes to transit facilities, and the committee recommends that the board authorize such a hearing, and that if it is approved, the hearing will be scheduled to occur in early 2015. So I would move approval of the resolution.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor.
Mr. Chairman, I filed a recusal on this issue.
I should have recognized that as well. Other questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you.
Our next action is approval to negotiate and execute a term sheet for the Navy Yard chiller site joint development. The committee was presented with a term sheet for this location, and staff has chosen the MRP Realty CAS Riegler team as our selected developer of the site, in accordance with the November 2013 joint development solicitation. The term sheet for the sale has been negotiated, and I would move its approval.
Second. Motion made and seconded. Are there any questions or comments on the motion? Hearing done, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you.
Our third action is the approval to use DC TIF funds for construction of a segment of the Metropolitan Branch Trail at Tacoma Station. Staff sought approval to authorize DC to use a portion of its share of the Transit Infrastructure Investment Fund, called TIF, to extend the Metropolitan Branch Trail and reimburse a private development company, Tacoma Spring Place LP, for the construction of that segment. The district has been extending that trail along the red line from Union Station to the border with Montgomery County, Maryland. The district's use of TIF money to construct the trail helps achieve Metro's objectives of better connecting the surrounding community to Metro facilities. With that, I would move approval.
Second. Motion made and seconded. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, let me just thank all the members for your support on this item. It's really critical to our bicycle infrastructure in the District of Columbia and connections to Tacoma, parts of Tacoma Park, Maryland, and the rest of Maryland, and it has been long promised. So this is a very important partnership with Metro and the district to make sure that that trail finally connects through Tacoma. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
If I could, I would like to second.
Member Brown?
Thank you. I'd like to second what Ms. Bowser said. I biked the trail over the weekend with the Washington Area Bicycle Association and then walk the uncompleted segment is going to be a tremendous asset to the district and to the region and I think to Metro as well. But thank you.
Thank you. Good. Perhaps it's just unanimous acclamation. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Thank you.
That concludes the planning and development agenda back. Next is customer service. Ms. Hudgen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the customer service had one action item before it, and it was the public participation plan. The public participation plan is the final component of the Title VI program, and it explicitly describes the proactive strategies and procedures Metro will undertake to eliminate the barriers to active participation by all members of the community, including minority and low-income and limited English proficiency population. Mr. Chairman, I would so move.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's important to note that this is a very vigorous plan that the staff has come up with. We most often look at the Title VI public hearings that we go to as those meetings where we go out to the public, we bring the information, and we hope they all come and hope that we do the right thing with it. This one is a much more engaging in which it's going out to all of the diverse communities and going to their location, hearing their needs and understanding, and trying to apply those to the services that we're providing. I think it's a much more efficient and acceptable way to gather customer input and meet customer needs. And I think the most important thing here is that this is being seen by all of the offices within the organization as the approach in which we take outreach. And so in approving this plan, I think it's a line share movement in terms of this, where the people are is where we'll be seen, and we'll gather that information and we'll try and apply the equity that we're looking for in Title VI approval in a much more efficient way. So we look forward to the plan, and we hope for it, look forward to actually people seeing more of a Metro in their communities being a participant of that. So this has been a very exciting piece, and I want to congratulate staff on the approach.
I have to say that I was impressed with both the hard work that staff put into this and the creativity they brought to the process. I think this stands us all in very good stead. And any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Report by Finance and Administration Committee. Ms. Hind.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my pleasure to bring to you an item from the Finance and Administration Committee. The committee recommends that the board establish a $4.8 million reimbursable project between WMATA and the Maryland Transportation Administration for initial design and engineering support of the Purple Line project, and to authorize the GM CEO to negotiate and execute a memorandum of understanding with MTA.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion or comments?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. We appreciate, on behalf of Maryland and myself and other members of the board from Maryland, the ability of the staff to work with the Maryland Department of Transportation to make this project and this proposal a reality. This is one where WMATA will work closely with Maryland DOT to coordinate planning and construction of the Purple Line, and they will be reimbursed for it. So the cost in the dollars will be by Maryland taxpayers with no cost to WMATA. The Purple Line will be a very important addition to the regional transportation system. It will connect across Maryland from Bethesda Station in Montgomery County through the New Carrollton Station in Prince George's County, and will intersect, connect with four metro lines as it moves across northern suburbs. Bethesda, Red Line, Silver Spring with the Red Line, then the Yellow Line, Blue Line, and the Orange Line, where it will terminate in New Carrollton. And we look forward to the ability for people, passengers and riders, to make seamless connections between the Purple Line and Metro at these various locations. And the Purple Line is on its way. There's been a short list of four teams, that will make proposals to Maryland Department of Transportation by January next year. Maryland Board of Public Works should pick a team leader by the spring of next year, and hopefully construction will begin, ground will be broken by the end of next year. So the Purple Line is coming. We look forward to its fruition and reality. I look forward, on behalf of the state of Maryland, to working with WMATA to make it a reality before the end of the decade. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. That concludes the Finance Administration Committee. Next is the report by the Governance Committee. Mr. Dyke.
Mr. Chairman, the following action was referred to the board at the September 11th meeting of the Governance Committee. Approval of revisions to board procedures. The committee approved changes to the board's procedures regarding the acceptance of audit reports and to allow alternate members to serve as committee chairs. The audit's language lays out a procedure for the Inspector General to forward audit reports to the board and for the board to review the findings and recommendations and resolve differences between the Office of the Inspector General and WMATA management and accept the reports. The change to the requirements for a committee chair will allow the board to better utilize the expertise of all of its members in policymaking and oversight. I would move approval of these proposed changes, Mr. Chairman.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you, Jim. Next is an administrative item, approval of amendments to the fiscal 2015 interim financing. Mr. Anasecki.
Good afternoon, Chairman.
Good afternoon.
The item before you is the resolution that seeks, the resolution before you reflects the near final terms with respect to the interim financing resolution that this board approved earlier this year. The resolution also board approval for staff to incorporate those funds into the final transaction that we are trying to work on. As the board will recall, this board approved in July this year the ability for staff to negotiate up to $250 million of shutdown finance in order to support Metro's ongoing capital needs. That action, we recall, became necessary as the new enhanced process for reviewing Metro's capital grant reimbursement, as well as FDA's annual drawdown process change in a fairly significant Metro's cash flow. So to minimize interruptions from the capital project, the board approved that transaction time, and that transaction had several elements. As I indicated, it was for up of nonsense. It had a one-year time. The basic interest rate was 1.5%, and it used undrawn capital grant as the primary security, with a secondary security tied to the pledge of revenue. So following the board approval, Metro engaged in a competitive process, which ultimately resulted in two financial institutions who were willing to provide private debt test for the organization. And at this point, staff have been negotiated with these two organizations. So as part of that negotiation and the due diligence that has been engaged in by the banks, we have been asked to include two basic terms and conditions into the transaction. The first request has to do with a make-whole provision which will hold the banks or the lenders accountable with respect in terms of capital adequacy or changes in capital. And the second provision will apply in the event of default, in which case the lenders are looking for a more flexible rate structure that will be tied to Metro's failure to pay debt service when due or other transactions. Because this request is customary and frankly market driven, we believe that any other financial we that comes part of this project will request similar time. And therefore, we are asking the board to consider and approve this resolution, which provides that additional flexibility to those two conditions that are required, which is event of default as well as standard provision. Other than that, the key element remains the total amount that is taken for $4, the payment timeline, so forth, the basic interest rate, and the primary is on the of revenue. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be glad to.
Thank you. Any questions or concerns from the board? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve. A motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you. We have two consent items after Mr. Downey made note that we changed the item C in terms of deleting it, deferring it. Approval of indemnification of Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration and approval of agreement with the Fraternal Order of Police. They're in your board materials, and if there are no other questions about either item, I would move the approval of the consent calendar. Motion made and seconded. all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Reports by the jurisdictions, I would defer the report to Ms. Bowser if she has anything to report from the district. WSTC, Mr. Goldman.
Yes, I'm not Mr. Nichols, but I will report for Maryland today, both a official report and the second matter. In the official business, I just wanted to repeat what I had said officially about the Purple Line. Proposals will be received by MDOT January 5. Final decision on selecting a Purple Line contractor will be made by the spring, and the Purple Line will be under construction by the end of the year. That's the official report from Maryland. As a matter of personal privilege, I would like to make one more statement. That is that today is a Wednesday. Normal board meeting day is Thursday. I want to thank the chair, the other board members, and staff for agreeing to move the meeting this week from Thursday to Wednesday so that I and other members of the Jewish faith could celebrate Rosh Hashanah in synagogue tomorrow. I'm sure this is appreciated not just by me, but by members of staff, the public, and the press, who might also otherwise not be able to attend a meeting this week on a Thursday. So, again, appreciate it. And I thank you all so that I could spend today here at Vermont in a board meeting and spend tomorrow in prayer at synagogue. Thank you.
Yeah, then you can pray for us.
Precisely the sequence that I was thinking about.
Thank you, and I want to recognize that it's primarily the board's responsibility to recognize holidays as part of its schedule, and we do make accommodations for other holidays during the course of the year, and it's our oversight about scheduling initially the meeting on Rosh Hashanah. So I was pleased to ask for the change in meetings. It makes for a more peaceful household at my home. So, so thank you. NVTC, Ms. Hudgens?
Last I announced, we were celebrating NVTC's 40th, and now we can say we celebrated. What did I say?
50. It's only a half century.
I guess I caught up on the last 10 years.
Yeah. We had a 10-year while we were sitting here.
The federal government, Mr. Downey.
No report, Mr. Chairman.
With that, that concludes the 1,399th board meeting of the Metro Board. Thank you.